You don't prepare in the battle, you prepare for the battle. You don't play away your preparation. It's a season. It will not always be there. You know, I've said this to people. If you rush out when you are not prepared, your generation will not forget you. They will note you and not forget that you are a mediocre. Any soldier that gets to the battlefield then start learning how to shoot a gun is a dead soldier. You are not in the ministry to compete, you are in the ministry to work. If you want to compete at all, the only person you should compete against is yourself.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned to go raise God's end time army. Sit back and be blessed as a gold soldier of Christ.
I commend you to God's grace. You do ministry well.
Father, we want to bless you. Thank you. You are faithful. Thank you for a new generation of strong men that you are raising. Thank you for your hand and your finger that are strong upon this generation, that despite their skillfulness, yet they are still hungry and passionate for you, seeking for ways to enhance your kingdom, seeking for ways to invade. We bless you, Lord. Father, we are asking, we are really asking, that illumination, revelation, knowledge, light, insight, strength, courage to pursue will come abundantly on every man and woman that listen to this. They will have strength to lay hands on what their generation are running away from. They will have the capacity to do what others cannot do so they can get the result others cannot get. They will choose the hard way to escape hard life. They will be strengthened in all the areas. We ask that men will be passionate. After listening to this, they will want to become more and do more. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Hallelujah. Now to start with, I want to take you on the second session and the second teaching. The very serious issues we'll be discussing. And I'll be taking the topic, how to rise to the top of the mountain. Alright? How to what? Rise. Each time people come to Jesus, having obvious need, the need that you need no question to solve, Jesus asked them, what do you want that the Son of Man should do for you? The man called blind Bartimaeus cried from the crowd, Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on me. You will think that when Jesus finally at this time, he would conclude that his obvious need is healing to his blindness. Have mercy on me could mean many things. Jesus was acting from experience. So he said to him, what do you want that the Son of Man should do for you? Because a man may have an obvious problem of blindness, and meanwhile his immediate need is money. Do you get what I'm saying? Someone may be blind, and yet while the one who can solve his problem is there, will require and request for something other than the healing of his blindness. Okay? So, it is very serious thing that while you can look at a man and see that there is a need for this man to rise in life, the man's greatest desire may not be the need to rise. Is somebody get what I'm saying here? Now, there is a need for the desire of a man to agree with the solution to his problem. That is, a man may have obvious problems, but the desire is not in the line of the solution to his problem.
So, there are many Christian men in media who need to rise to take that mountain to the Lord, but their desire is something else other than rising. A man may be poor, and you will think that if you engage this man, and as a man who have the power to solve his problem, whether it is obvious to him that you can solve his problem or not, he tells you that what he needs now is a woman in his life. Men who call want need are men who stay long in their problem. So you must distinguish between what is a want and what is a need. Now, we read a scripture the last time. So one of the things I will do is that across different sessions of these teachings, I will read that same scripture in different translation. However, the anchor scripture for this whole teaching is Micah chapter 4 from verse 1 to 3. But it will come to pass afterwards in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of all mountains. So that is the anchor scripture. But there are supporting scriptures. And one of the supporting scriptures that we will be consistent with checking is that scripture, Isaiah chapter number 60, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Now, I am going to read from the Amplified Translation. Isaiah chapter number 60, verse 1. Amplified Translation. Arise from spiritual depression to a new life. Arise from spiritual depression to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory and the brilliance of the Lord, for your light has come. And the glory and the brilliance of the Lord is risen upon you. Alright, the glory and the brilliance of the Lord is risen upon you. Now I want to show you a scripture to support what that scripture said, so that you will understand. I will read Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. I start the reading from verse 13. Matthew 5 from verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. According to this scripture, we don't establish the truth with one scripture. It is in the mouth of two or three witnesses that the truth shall be established. So what I want to say now is not an already established truth, but I'm saying a measure of truth according to this one scripture. If this one scripture is the measure of what believers are to operate with, it will mean that there is no prayer for the top become a light and men will not debate your position. But however, there is the grace factor in what we do. And that's why scripture says in the book of Hebrews 4 verse 16, that let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in the times of need. Alright, in the book of Romans, chapter number 9, scripture spoke concerning Esau and Jacob, that the children being not yet born, God already spoke that Esau have I hated, Jacob have I loved. Alright, the election, said that the purpose of God according to election may stand, not of works, but of him who call it. So there is the place of God selecting a man for greatness. But if you look at the life of every man God selected, you discover that God does not play with his selection. Though grace is the yardstick, but the men are also doing something. Is somebody getting what we are saying here? These are very important principles we want to look at. So, arise and shine. So, here the Bible said,
You cannot shine as a bulb not carrying light. You are the light of the world. It means the world will be in darkness when we have less of you. Alright? If we don't have your kind in places, that place should be dark. If any organization is happy that you are leaving, something was wrong with your light. Everywhere you function, you are expected to bring a measure of solution. Now, light is a problem solver. Everything happens when men are in darkness. Different things. In darkness, there is depression. In darkness, there is confusion. In darkness, there is all activities of evil. The Bible said that while men slept in darkness, the enemy came and sowed tears amongst wheat. Different things happen when there is darkness. You get what I'm saying? Alright, that's why it is one of the characteristics of the last days that there will be darkness. Scripture says in the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 4 from verse 1 that afterwards the Spirit speaketh expressly, saying that in later times some shall depart from faith, giving heed to seducive spirit and doctrine of demons. Alright, commanding themselves, forbidding themselves to marry and commanding themselves to abstain from meat. Alright, meaning that in the last days darkness will begin to come, and as a result of the activity of darkness, false knowledge will follow. And that's what we see in the book of Isaiah 60 from verse 2. That darkness will cover the head and gross darkness the people. Right? So when a people are in darkness, they don't have hope of the future. When a people are in darkness, they don't have foresight. Alright? One of the effects of darkness is what is called depression. And that's why the Bible describes Isaiah 61 Amplified Version, that the word arise there is actually a calling from spiritual depression. When men are depressed, all they see is the hand, no future. And that's why in depression, all a man desires is death. Because when there's darkness, it makes death pleasant. Are you getting what we are saying here? Darkness tells a man that there is no way forward. Tabernacle here. Alright, but Bible said that you are the light. Light solves the problem of darkness. By illuminating, you are solving multiple problems in one. There are people who are at the verge of giving up, but by sometimes just going through the things you do, they said to themselves, if we have heard the story of this man and he can survive all he has survived, we'll survive the same thing also. That is a light. One of the characteristics of light is that light illuminates. Light makes it possible for men to see. Alright, you look at light, you are not struggling to see further. In light, men don't stumble. In darkness, men stumble. Light brings brilliance, beauty, illumination. When there is light, people's moods are naturally raised. When there's darkness, men have tendencies of being depressed. Many things happen when men sit in the dark. All right, in the book of Psalms 19. Alright, verse 3. So, Psalms chapter number 11, verse 2. Alright, Psalms 11, verse 3, scripture says that if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? But in Psalms 11, verse 2, the Bible says that for lo, the wicked bend their bows from the shadows to shoot at the upright in heart. So, in darkness, many things happen. But if you are a child of the light, by being light, you are a problem solver. So, light. Nothing boasts itself as light until it has the properties of light. Don't just claim the top. Do what those at the top are doing. The level you rise to is a reflection of the level of problem you are solving. Don't just claim I belong to the top. If everybody belongs to the top, it's a curse, not a blessing. It is hand. Somehow, the ideology of a certain sect of Christians in Africa, their ideology of rising is in such a way that they think that God gives influence to people even when they are doing nothing. God doesn't work that way. God gives influence to those who are already doing things. He trusts them with it. Those who have been consistent behind closed doors. I read a book by Steve R. Covey. What do you say? Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Thank you. By Steve Alcovey. And they talk about the 1,000, is 10,000 golden rule, the law, 10,000 hours. Meaning that anyone who rise to global platform or influence of doing what they are doing, they must have done it for nothing less than 10,000 hours. If you are a preacher and you want to rise to such, don't wait till you are invited to preach. When you are in your room, preach to the world. As you give yourself to something consistently, your proficiency increases. You become good, excellent at what you do. When you talk, you have a command. When many talk about what they do, they lack command. Command comes when you are given to it over and over again. When a man has command in a field, he will always be anointed to operate. Alright? Giving yourself to what you do gives you a sense of command. If you are a news presenter, the more you appear before the camera, the more you know how to handle activities there. If you are a photographer, the more you carry your camera, the more you snap, the more you edit, the more you do the things you do, the more you design, the more you have a sense of command. It is given to men who are consistent. It is an activity of proficiency. Even the devil is not lazy at what he does. The devil, your adversary, roams about. Not the way men roam about. So the devil himself roams about like a wounded lion looking for whom to what? Devour. Alright, meaning that the devil doesn't roam about aimlessly. He moves about with a specific mission. And the mission is, the moment I find someone who is idle, someone who is not polarized, someone who is not structured towards a direction, I devour him. So if the thief commit, the devil commit no but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Threefold mission. And that is what he roams about to do. So there are weaknesses that some men have, but the devil doesn't have. The devil introduces them to those things, but he himself abstains from it. Because if he does them, he will not be effective. For instance, the devil is not lazy. Hallelujah. Alright, so arise, shine as the light. You are the light. Don't just say it. Do it. Solve problems. The honor that comes to you is a reflection of the problems you solve. Solve it. Some people get pictures. They are not happy with the way it looks. Solve it. Some people can preach, but someone can sit down and translate their messages into books. Solve it and present them the books. You can get the message of a pastor in series and convert it to books and present it to him. You are solving a problem. You are earning a space in their heart. Every great man really wants people around. But those who can solve something, what are you coming for? I get mail from people who need help. And they start with the message, with the mail. Good day, man of God. Thank you. And they write the you as you, not Y-O-U. And I tell myself over and over again, men who abbreviate have nothing to offer me. If they do, they'll give attention to details. There are many who want to write, but you are careless about what you write. You cannot lose consciousness of how you operate. Teach yourself to know what to do. Sometimes you need to start with learning how to talk to your friends well. So when you are standing before great men, you have not learned, you have not lost your ability to put words together well, because you talk well. Put things well. Don't just write. There are people who write, they have blogs, but they are not faithful with their blogs. So the number of readers reduces day by day till they are the only one left. And if you check their prayer life, they are not faithful. I've learned this, that when a man doesn't have his prayer time fixed, you will struggle to manage efficiently any other time. Until your prayer life is fixed, I doubt if any other thing is fixed. Alright? Little things can be a reflector of great things. So you say, I am the light of the world. If you get a bulb and you give it to a man to fix the bulb, if the man asks you, should I fix it up or down, then something is wrong. No one debates the location of light. Stop fighting for position. Shine brighter. The more you solve problems, the more you are needed. You can measure your worth by those who are demanding for you. You can measure the worth of your time by those who want it. You can check. Opportunities fly everywhere. But you need to rise to understand the way the kingdom functions. Don't hold the truth while living the other. You will suffer yet speaking in tongues. Somehow, we have learned, we have come to start making things God's responsibility. Even when in His word, He has obviously said, you are in charge of this. Hallelujah. Now, so, scripture says, let your light shine before men. Before who? Before who? Who needs to know that you are a good photographer? Men. Who needs to know that you are a good web designer? Men. Who needs to know that you are a good writer? Men. Who needs to know that you are a good YouTuber? Men. Who needs to know that you are a good cinematographer? Men. Don't just be a friend of God. Be a friend of men. Men needs to know. Men recommend men. This is men's world. And I'm telling you very serious fact here. Alright, let your light shine before men. Don't say I'm better than him. I only know it in my heart. Alright, you must be audible. Don't be apologetic about advertising what you do. Sometimes when you have access, be polite and initiate it. Solve a problem around them. Alright, each time you want to advertise effectively, make sure your advert system solves a problem itself. Advertise in a way that solves the problem. Someone who wants to advertise out a fashion industry and a fashion organization, for instance, can start by talking about how to match colors. You have solved that problem for those who do not know it. They want to hear more. Then you initiate what you do. Every advert must come with a solution. I'm not teaching you branding. I'm teaching you kingdom. You are a city that is set on the hill. You cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Alright, for instance, for I think network range, for those who did computer science, there's something we call the WAN1 and LAN, local area network and wide area network. You know, a candle may successfully light well a room and struggle to light a bigger hall. Don't just be a light. Be a great light. So, there are principles scripturally that are attached to rising. Alright, and I need to teach you this so you not be emotional or sentimental about life. You can be deliberate. You can be very deliberate. And let me say this before I go into those principles. Irrespective of the principles you know, if you fail to know the principle of time management, you waste the rest. What did I say? Irrespective of the principles you know, if you fail to know the principle of time management, you will fail the rest. You waste the rest. Why? God makes things beautiful in their time and season. There is time for everything and a purpose to every season. There is a time to sleep, there's a time to wake up. Alright? Depending on what your future is like or what you are seeing, your time to sleep, you may decide it will be longer than the time to wake up. You don't have a dream yet until those dreams can keep you from sleeping. Alright, someone says that dreams are not what you see when you are asleep. Dreams are what keeps you from sleeping. Now, while you ought to go and lie on the bed of idleness, you suddenly remember, this is where I am going to. And it dawns on you. This is where my life is going to. I cannot afford to play. If you walk like this, you will not live life as it comes. You will live life deliberately. You are deliberate about what you do, what you think on, what you see, who you relate with, who you associate with.
Everyone may like you, but let those who bear your kind of value be your friend. Don't choose friends emotionally or sentimentally. A man who works with a fool will soon become one, because ideas rub on each other. You start learning the way a man thinks. You start seeing the way a man should be given to mediocrity. I tell people, if you claim to have a mentor who always have your time, change the mentor. It's a sign something is not working in his life. Your mentor must be busy, so you pursue mentors. Why? On the account of what he has done with his time. 5 minutes allocated to you is greater than 10 hours of some others. Why? As his speaking result is confirming it. Mentorship is not designed to be an activity between men who have time. A man who wants beautification will follow a man who has it. He will not always have that time. But when he does give the time to you, you can tell on the account of his investment, it is more precious than the time of every other person, true or not true. The more the problem you solve, the more valuable your time becomes. Now, let me give you an instance. Someone who is 50 years old and someone who is 30 went to apply in the same bank for the same job. And they have been interviewed, the both of them, looking at their CV, looking at what they have done with their time. Your CV is only a reflection of the input you have into time. Into time. And they look at the values they've added. Someone said, I don't get any certification. It's just paper. It will tell sooner or later. Alright? And we look at the investment. And they tell the one who is 50. Alright, I haven't checked this. How much can we pay you? Say, I want 100 and something. I say, okay, no, don't worry. What we can pay you. What we can pay you means what you deserve according to the value you have. What we can give is 80,000 naira. And they look at the one who is young, but well read. They say, what we can give you is 250,000 naira. That tells you that the one who is 30 have lived more than the one who is 50. The time you live outside of purpose makes you old, not effective. So when God tells you, when the Ancient of Days tells you that Joshua, you are old and well stricken in age, it means you didn't start on time. You have spent more time outside the divine time zone. You can be old, but yet you have not lived. There is a difference between living and existing. You can exist. No investment into time. That passion, that desire. What do you see? What do you want to become? It is not called ambition, it is called aspiration. If it is in God, not an ambition. You have a desire for the earnest expectation of the righteous shall not be cut short. The righteous should have an expectation. Your desires, your ambitions are the combination of things you want to do on your own outside God. But you can be in God and have aspiration. The call to God is not a call to suspend thinking. You have not been called to suspend the way you think, the way you see things. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Investment into time. You check yourself. You know, I complain every time to people around me. I am not doing enough. I am not doing enough. I want to do more. And they say, Pastor, you are doing fine. It matters who is telling you are doing fine. Don't ever take it from those who are coming after you. It matters who tells you you are doing well. If you compare yourself with those who are behind you, you become complacent. If you compare yourself with those who are equal to you, you become competitive. If you compare yourself with those who are ahead of you, you pursue. It matters what you compare yourself with. What you must always ask yourself a question. What do I want my future to look like? You pick a book and you write, in the next 20 years, when they are giving a description of me, what should it be? Then start doing those things. Because description will not come until you are at that address. Say, what do you want to do? If they're going to describe you in the next 20 years, what do you want to be described as? A doctor, then pursue your PhD. Don't wait for honorary degrees. Pursue. Life is designed in such a way that the beauties of life don't come to any man's lap. You pursue them. You go after them. They are not gifts. They are rewards. Hallelujah. So different organizations have different men. And sometimes you wonder why a man who is much younger seems to have upper hand on the account of his investment to himself. Spend time investing, adding more knowledge. These are the things I can do. You say you are 28, but we look at your CV. What is the effect of what you have done in the 28 years of your living? What have you done?
All right, now listen. Failure as a language and the communication code of failure is excuses. Excuses are languages that you can find only on the lips of one man, the man who just failed. It's a very powerful thing. You must choose. I hate failure with the whole of my heart. Now listen, let me tell you something. I took a whole night not to pray, to confess. Nothing dies in my hands. And I was working in my room. Nothing dies in my hands. I'm building a consciousness. If the Lord is going to give me over 10,000 branches of touches, I need to develop capacity for management, not just for leadership or preaching. You can be an effective preacher but a weak manager. Management means that you know how to harness the gift of men, square pegs in square holes. You know where men should belong. A leader is a broker of talent. You collect men raw and you break them into their individual callings. Use them in the area that they are called so that the work can grow and they also can be enhanced. If you work with a man while the work is going, you are depreciating. That is not a leader. That's a slave master. So you can have capacity to do fantastic work, but you don't have capacity to expand beyond the things you do. Pick up materials, read management books. Let's check your chat history. What do you check? Access to the internet is valuable. It's important. What do you read on YouTube? What do you listen to? What do you watch? I tell people, I listen to TED Talks. I watch TED Talks. I watch Dark Dragons. Then, all right, and there's this other one again, Shark Tank. Different programs. I don't just want to be a preacher. I want to raise men. Get these things. You have access to the internet. What do you do? All right, you tell a Christian, write business proposal. You want to do this, and you look at the construction, the way they are talking about it. When people give me quotation of the things they want to do, the first thing I check is the total, because there's no time. And I will start breaking it down one after the other. And say, I've not reached the total. I want to first go through all those. That is not a good... You are not a good businessman. You must understand that those who have what to give, you don't have time. If you can't sell your business in seconds, you are gone. The proof that you know your purpose is that you can see it even when they wake you up from the sleep. Your proficiency in things will be seen in your ability to be succinct in your description of it. We'll know you know what you are doing. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Alright, so you see, sometimes people say that we are business people, alright, they have no plan for the business, they have no structure, they have no business policy, they have no account financial structure, they don't even take stock of what they do, they just spend as money comes. I notice that if we follow the financial injunction of scriptures, give your tithe, alright, and all those things, there is no way you'll be faithful in knowing your 10% if you don't know what comes in. So by obeying the principle of tithing, you'll be financially prudent. Because it calls you to a point of accountability. You are drawn back. Be accountable. Everything that comes to your hands. Now let me tell you this. If you are praying that God should test you with 10 million naira to see what you will do with it, He will not test you with it. The reason why you don't have it now is because He knows you will not do something good with it. Say, Lord, test me, test me, test me. You should be, have you been locked up somewhere and you look at things you want to solve, meaning that you have the work on ground, you are just waiting for the tool. Because money is not just a medium of exchange, money is tool for the job. Sometimes you know the job, you are waiting for the tool. And if what you know is what brings pleasure to you, you are not a man that will attract abundance. Are you getting what I'm saying here? There is a language for men who are at the top. Time is of essence. Time, very important. I check what men do with their time. Someone wants to talk to me and then he's greeting, Pastor, good morning, sir. I thank God for the grace upon your life. I know the grace is there. Go straight to the point. You have many Christians who are not disciplined and they are angry that men of influence don't have their time. They will not have your time as long as you want to steal theirs. Management of time. People write to me irrespective of what you want to give me. If you can't write correctly, I'm not talking about those who didn't go to school or do you have the opportunity. Someone who is careless to write shorthand or in abbreviations, you don't know how to communicate with honor effectively. Let them leave your sight.
You can't attract all men. A leader is not designed to attract everybody. A leader is a standard. Only ice cream attracts people. A leader attracts those who want to learn, those who are going somewhere to happen. And you must be firm on this principle. Time management. Even God will not commit great things to your hand if you joke with time. Even God. As a matter of fact, the devil doesn't trust time wasters. Check when the devil read those who sing all the songs and they say the devil makes their music spread. Are they not hardworking? The one in Alaba who is singing behind the corner of his house smoking excessively. When he should be singing, did the devil bless what he was doing? Hard work is hard work. Time management. Sometimes you need to get up and tell yourself, I've wasted enough time. And there's something about time wastage. Men who waste time are not allowed to know they are wasting time until the whole time is gone. It's a very subtle force. Every day is spent at nothing that brings value to you. Rather, things that brings depreciation to your body. Things that brings depreciation to what you would have done. Every day is spent at those things. And later you check, 10 years gone. And you ask yourself, what have I done with 10 years of my life? That a day a man will come and at the end of his life is just discovering what to do. And he's asking, my whole life have passed before me. What have I done with it? Time management. Every day you must have a pursuit. If not, you may be walking on the streets, you are in prison. Prisoners have nothing to achieve, just survive. And if you can die, die. The government will bury you. And many people are on the street. But a prisoner who is in a prison has more purposeful life than them. You must always set goals to achieve things you want to do with each day. Let there be a target. Don't just live. Don't just exist. Don't just breathe. Live. Alright, let me say this to you. When we were doing integrated science in those days in primary school, alright, I think before it moves to biology and then physics, chemistry, you know, and then many other things in secondary school, there's something we talk about, the characteristic of living things. We talk about Mr. Nanjadi, alright, but the sum total of characteristic of living thing is that everything living survives through contribution. And that is the most important, most predominant characteristics of living thing. All right, everything living survives through what? Contribution. Man breathes, all right, takes in oxygen, supplies CO2 into the atmosphere. Plant needs CO2 and gives you oxygen. Contribution. The root of leguminous plant survives nitrogen. All right, release it there. Different things happens. We need all these things. Everything surviving gives. Check yourself. What am I contributing? When I aspire to go around people, do I have a meaningful contribution to their lives? I must come with a solution. Great men need solution to certain things. You must discover, you study. I can help in this way. Right? And you give that solution. And then you are raised. You are recognized. You'll be recognized. Now, let me quickly show you a scripture. So, I want to talk about things to be in place for a man that will be lifted. Alright, things that a man who will be lifted needs to have in place. Alright, if you want to rise, take mountains, these are things that need to be in place. Okay, and so you learn them. And don't joke. There is the back end of life. Right, there's the back end of life. Skillfulness is not the ultimate. You may be skillful without certain impute, something will go wrong, and that's what I want to show you. So the Lord said unto Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter number 16 from verse 1, how long will thou mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine oil on with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for me a king amongst his sons. Verse 2, and Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an ephah with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Long story cut short.
In verse 10, Jesse made all his 7 sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord has not chosen this. Now listen, the Lord wanted to make a king amongst them that will be the ruler of the nation of Israel. But the Lord was looking for someone. You know, we have deceived ourselves for long. And when we look at this, particularly for those of you who grew up watching Nollywood or, you know, all those kind of movies, something tells you, it is his destiny. It is his destiny. It's a destiny child. A destiny child is a child of decision. Your decision determines your direction. God saw something in David, and that's where we are going to. He saw something. God is not a joker. What God saw was in 1 Samuel 17. Alright? David heard when his father told him to go serve his brothers. He heard that there was a man who had been gloating for 40 days. He will destroy anyone that wants to fight. They should just give him one man to fight. And then if he wins, the Israelite becomes his slave. If the Israelite wins, he becomes their slaves. He heard it and he was angry. But before David came, before Saul that day, David already had access before. And that is where we are going to. He had access in this same 1 Samuel chapter number 16. But when David stood before Saul in 1 Samuel 17, David wrote, he read out the content of his life CV. And he said, while I was in the wilderness, a lion and a bear came after my sheep and I smote them. Meaning that I've been doing something. And that was what God saw. God saw a man that if you give 100 sheep, he will stop at nothing till he return 100 or more. And God could not wait to bring him as a king over his people. Though young, but he had the mentality. He had it. Sometimes mentality is everything. All that destroys a man, mentality. Why can't you, as a man who has invested into your life and read and done many things, why can't you go and marry a beautiful girl who is selling pepper by the side of the road? It is not just because the family is not rich, not just because she did not go to school, but because of the mentality she had. If you marry somebody who has wrong mentality, you don't have to struggle for your life to be destroyed. The mentality will bring it down. Because while you are lifting it up, they are seeing it south. All you have to do sometimes to waste your time is just to marry anyhow. And two works together, they are not in agreement. Now, the issue of marriage, sorry to deviate, is not that men will have to come to agree. They must be in agreement. Meaning that they are heading towards the same direction. So there'll be no conflict. Many women want to change their husband because while she was going north, he was going south. And now they are trying to agree on that. You must always seek for people who are going your direction. So, David, you know, God saw that this boy here had a very dangerous culture of preservation. And God said, I can trust him with the whole land of Israel. And he proved God right. He never lost a battle. That was the culture. That was where it was coming from. He never lost a battle. He only turned his back from one man once, and that was his son, after he sinned. But something happened to David. There was, despite the anointing, all right? In verse 10, Jesse said, none of them is the king. All right, but in verse 12, and they brought David in, and the Bible says that he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look upon, meaning that he was good to look upon. He was not just rough, he was taking care of himself. All right, something happened there. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is it. The word arise there is with capital letter, meaning stand with everything you have within you, put your oil on this one. What you want to anoint him for is beyond that throne. There is a key to be given to him called the key of David. Psalms 89. And Samuel took the oil and anointed him. But despite the anointing, he still did not stand before kings until something happened. In verse 14, the Bible said, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, this is a very serious scripture. For instance, in First Samuel chapter number 1, Anna said she had not given birth because the Lord had prevented her from giving birth. As long as she assumed it was the Lord holding her from giving birth, she never gave birth. Until one day she came to herself and said, if I go ask God for a child, he will give me a child. How can you ask the one who was holding you back from giving birth to a child, ask him for a child, and then give birth to a child? It meant that something changed in her heart. She came to discover that this is not the Lord. When you wake up in the morning and find tears sown among wheat, ask who had done this. Make sure you know it is not the Lord first.
An enemy had done this. So, Saul, it was the general assumption, whenever anything happens to anyone, that the Lord had made this happen to him. People who died, they said it was the Lord. People are not doing anything, say it was the Lord. Many children escape punishment from their African homes. Because when they are misbehaving, they know the parents will come and say, the devil, somebody is trying to shoot him an arrow. And the boy will misbehave very well. The mother will go and pray from a false prophet who also doesn't have a job or value. And he will tell them, somebody is trying to witch your son, it's the devil. And the guy will say, I've escaped. Because when we have a culture of revelation that passes responsibility to the devil and not you for what you do, you keep escaping till you are dead. So, an evil spirit was tormenting Saul. That's the way we read in the New Testament, knowing that no evil spirit comes from the Lord. Alright? Verse 15. Verse 16. Let our Lord now command thy servant which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning, the word cunning there is was skillful player on an harp. And it shall come to pass that when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, he shall play with his hands and thou shall be well. Mean that don't just bring a man who is anointed. Bring a man who is skillful. As a matter of fact, they mention no anointing here. Just skillfulness. Bring a man who is cunning on an harp. And Saul said to his servant, provide me now a man that can play well. Give me a good designer. Give me a good photographer. Give me a good videographer. Give me a good journalist. Give me a good writer. And bring him to me. Then answered one of them, an uninvited guest. An uninvited audience. Meaning that as you do what you do, it is not just those who are telling you are doing well that are watching you. You have uninvited guests who are watching what you are doing. They are seeing your growth. A day comes, there is a need for you to be recommended, and they stand and say, we know him. And you are shocked. This is a power of recommendation here. Now answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, a mighty and valiant man, and a man of war, prudent in matters, and a comely person. And the Lord is with him. Let's look at this requirement again, one after the other. A powerful requirement. Powerful requirement. He said, it shall come to pass. Okay, sorry. Verse 18. And he has said, one of the servants, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Meaning that he is not just playing, he is fit for the palace. There are those who are good, but they are not fit for the palace. He is playing well. Right? The distance between 1 Samuel chapter number 13, verse 16, verse 13, and 1 Samuel chapter number 16, verse 18, is 4 years. 4 complete years after the oil had been poured upon him. He didn't go to sleep. He was walking with the oil. He didn't brag and sit, lock himself up and say, I'm Obalola. That is the king tomorrow. He was walking. If you know the hand of God is on you, do something with the hand. Said the man is cunning in playing. He is skillful in playing. A mighty and valiant man. How old was this mighty and valiant man? 17 years. He was not acting his age. Men are 30. You look at them, they look like 21. I'm telling you. They are, some are 40. And some are just 25. You think the quality investment into their time, the way they carry things, need to be educated on how to carry yourself. There is a way. There is a way to carry your garage. There are two different ways. You know, to look tempt is to walk in a way that you are in the future even while you are still here. The age. The man saw. He had many people who heard them playing. But there is one who knows how to play. The one who can play for the palace. There are many anointed preachers who have knowledge is designed, quality knowledge, to flow only in the direction of honor. If your friend has it, he's not just your friend, he's a teacher. When you relate with him as a friend, your friendship is maintained. But to become proficient in what you do, when you are with him as a teacher, be with him as a teacher. Amen. So David had excellent courage, skillful one. So I wrote here, all right, that the number one criteria, something I'm going to call number one, very important, is that you need to be anointed. Beyond what you do, be anointed. Seek for the anointing. Ask God for the anointing. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 10, from verse 27, scripture says that it will come to pass afterwards that the yoke of the Assyrians shall be taken from off your shoulders, and the yoke shall break by the reason of what? The anointing. The word anointing is the word rimon, is the word fatness, is the word prosperity. The word anointing there. So another scripture says that it will come to pass that your neck will become so big, yokes will not be able to fit in. Mean that you will expand in your capacity. That's the anointing. You need to be anointed. Samuel had laid hands on David. The fact that you are a designer doesn't mean you should trivialize impartation. There is the back end of life. It doesn't end at you being skillful. There is a place of grace pushing you out. No, sir. I think I need to say this. You might be skillful from now till now. If you don't have favor with God, you will not be seen. And that's why influence is not just about what you have. God must endorse you. He must endorse you. What heaven has created, the earth must confirm. In the book of Acts, chapter number 13, from verse 1, the apostles gathered themselves and they fasted. As they ministered unto the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." But Paul later speaking said, "The God who have separated me from my mother's womb, though he had separated him, but if the earth does not endorse it, nothing will happen." God doesn't jump protocol. So you need to be anointed. The anointing is favor with God and men. Christ grew in stature, he grew in wisdom, he grew in favor with God and men. Favor with God is work of grace, 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 grace. We serve a God who, you know, had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's the grace of God. You don't merit it. It's the work of grace. But listen, the fact that it is not by merit, there must be hunger. He that seeketh shall find. To him that knocketh, the door shall be opened. You must live a life that shows you value grace. And I've told men, irrespective of the money you have, when a man stands before you speaking prophetically, decreeing words into your life, if you say amen casually, the oil will stop flowing. Honor attracts the anointing. You pray for men, they stand. You can't hear what they are saying. And all the things you have prophesied, the hand is taken away. Even God recognizes this honor. He said to Samuel, "For how long will you mourn over Saul?" At the point God told Saul, he said, "Prepare a sacrifice, wait for Samuel." And just a few moments for Samuel to get there, he was in a hurry. And then gave the sacrifice, said the people were leaving. That was in honor. And when Samuel was about walking out, he held the garment of Samuel and he tore. And God spoke to Samuel, "Your kingdom has been torn away from you. And this day shall be given to someone who is better than you, for your neighbor he is." Anointing. Favor with God and men. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 34, Bible was speaking about Naphtali. It said, "Oh Naphtali, satisfied with favor." Satisfied. You must desire favor. It is an anointing that everyone that sees you wants to do you good. Everyone. When people think about you, they are thinking of how to bless you, how to honor you, how to appreciate you, how to say thank you, how to gift you things. Cain said, "Lord, having said all these things has touched my life, every man that sees me will want to kill me." There is a point like that. That is disfavor. Now when there is an accident that is supposed to happen at so and so and so time, 1:19 p.m. so and so seconds, a man who is walking in, you know, the car is there. Don't just be anointed. Be sensitive to the anointing of favor. Alright, so you must commanding favor with God and with men. Alright, favor with God is work of grace. But when it comes to favor with men, it depends on the kind of men. Favor with God is one. But favor with men, it depends on who favor you, sir. Ha! It matters who tells you, "I will help you." You can find favor before mere men. They will give you sympathy. If you find favor before mere men, they will give you sympathy. If you find favor before men who are kings, they will lift you. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Acts 10:38, with the Holy Ghost and with power. With the Holy Ghost and with what? Power. And he went about doing what? Good. Jesus speaking in Matthew 28 verse 18. He said, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All power. It matters who says, "I will help you." It matters who you have found favor before. And listen, the level of favor you command depends on whose language you are speaking. Your operations, your work is a communication to men in different languages. There is a way you will walk that those you are speaking to only are mere men. There is a way you will walk and those you are speaking to are kings. Favor with men. What kind of men? Who is favoring you? Who is interested in your matter? You will find favor with kings. Esther was not just a girl who was raised from the house of Mordecai, you know, to the palace. She stayed. She was mentored, taught of the ways of the Lord. Beautiful but cool-headed. Palace material. But yet understand it. If you don't walk in honor, you give what belongs to king to dogs. Imagine if one of those who are to examine her had done test and run. For those who have done that, there is grace. And those who have not done it, be careful. Because there are things you will do one day and you'll never recover from them. Men do not recover from all mistakes. There are mistakes you do and the devil will pitch tent around your life in that area for life. It was said in Genesis 34 verse 1. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, that she bore unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And Shechem, the son of Ammon, the Evite, saw her, took her, lay with her and defiled her. Because of that, several things happened. One, Dinah's name was silent in the Bible. That was the last time she was mentioned. She was defiled. Men who are of this lineage give birth to kings. They are important. Their wombs matter. But this one went out to see other kind of people. And defilement entered. And God went quiet on her case. Though forgiven, but no longer qualified for what he wants to do. If Mary had messed up with Joseph, they would give birth to a child, but not Jesus. Forgiveness and restoration are two different things. Does God restore? Yes. Does he forgive? Yes. But certain things may not come back. And that's why it matters what you think. It is not every time men misbehave that they come back. No, sir. Sometimes the devil is waiting for some people to just make one mistake. And they will never recover all their lives. Understand the delicateness of the kind of destiny you carry. He who lives in glass house can't afford to throw stone. So, Dinah was silent. Because of that, Levi was cursed. And different things happened. And it affected Moses because he was from that tribe. Anger. Let's leave that story. Alright, so, favor with men, it depends on the kind of men. Alright, your courage communicates to different kind of men, either mere men, your equals, or kings. If you want to communicate to kings, you must be of excellent character. Your character must be impeccable. Now, I was listening to Archbishop Benson Idahosa, and he talked about the time that he was on plane. And he was on plane with the President of America, the former President of America, George Bush, the Bush before this President Bush. And he was seated beside him. And he was wondering why, you know, he was allowed. He just sat down while they were on flight. And then he struck a conversation with him. And the President said to him, "I know you." He said, "Are you not the Bishop from Nigeria, Archbishop Benson Idahosa?" And he said, you know, the man, the President, was a former leader of FBI. They know your browsing history, your call history, the voice record of all your calls. They can provide it. You are the one who are primitive. They are not. If it was a false bishop, he was standing before a man who is not God but can mirror his life. And they said to him, "If you are not of impeccable character, you will not be allowed to sit beside me." Meaning that before they've checked, we will be sitting here. And they've run a scan on his life. Can we have his chat history, his call history, his browsing history? If all those things are checked about your life, are you not finished? Excellent character. Kings are not carried away with skillfulness. You need to know how to behave. There is a way to carry yourself in the palace. There is a way not to behave. When the Queen of England, our grandchild, when Prince Harry, right? And was getting married, right? All those who were invited, they dressed well. None was wearing anything that was revealing their breast. Not backside. Because in a kingdom system, everything, you know, is done according to the custom of the kingdom. This is not a club. You dress well. If you don't have the garment required for the party, you are thrown out. There is a way to appear before kings. When Joseph was going to be presented before Pharaoh, he was made to shave. Sometimes you carry beards like prisoners. I'm not condemning beards. But it matters whether you have money to make it good or not. Because nothing can be disappointing as a beard that you can't treat with money. It looks strange. It covers the face like you are wearing a cap. And men are confused. Is this a man or what? Amen. Someone is touching his beard as I'm speaking. I say, Pastor, oh, Pastor is not talking about my beard. Shave it and look good. Amen. Excellent character and relational skill. That is, you need to know how to relate with men. That I'm an introvert can stop your walk to the palace. You can be an introvert, but be skillful in relating with men. Be smart. Be smart. Know how to strike conversation, meaningful ones. Don't start with shalom. We'll send you out. I said it the other time. You want to cheat us? Don't bribe me with Christianity. Let's see what you can do, sir. Say, bless you, bless you, bless you. And your tie is just waving like you are in the wind or summer. You know, say, what are you talking about? I'm very sensitive to people who want to use me. I know I can detect them. It's one greeting I know, a passive. And as a prophet, if it smells like a rat, it's a rat. Excellent relational skill. It is not every girl that comes that is a wife. If you ask the one who has the key to your next door out, as long as she's saying no, the door is closed. Because some people are in your life for you to be friends, not for you to date. Discern. To marry every woman is to end up poor. You will offend the ones that can introduce you to kings. You've broken their heart. You know what I'm saying? You slept with this one, done this with that one, done. The weakest part of your body should not be the zip. Should be strong. Lock it with bars of iron and fetters. Like the way angels are locked in chains of everlasting darkness. Till that day. When that day comes, then you can unlock and then God will help you. Excellent relational skill. And this is where I talk about how to discern men. Discern. Understand, identify the purpose of men in your life. There are men who are gates, but they don't look like it. You know what a gate is? An access way. They are one, but through them you can access different portals. Not just portals of deeper dimensions. I know that is all you know. I'm talking about portals of men. Men in high places. One recommendation is my son. Give him the job, sir. And they know that the one who said is my son. He never recommends anyone who is average. You get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? The higher you go, the lesser the sentiment. But any country that the higher you go, the more the sentiment. The country doesn't grow. Like Nigeria. Certain jobs are reserved for certain daughters of certain politicians and all that. And they get there. The only thing they know how to do is to embezzle and not to solve problems. And the country is poorer. But their days are over. Their days are over. Have excellent relational skill. Someone spoke about Joseph to the king. The king had the dream. He had the interpretation. He needed a voice outside the prison. You need a voice outside your domain to speak about you. Someone watching you to recommend you. Each time an invitation comes from men who do not know you, who have never heard you preach, someone talked about you. But if you fought with all those who should talk about you, what do you have? The Lord prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Your enemies have good use. You can't fight everyone you don't like. Sit down and learn. Know how to do things well. I don't like this one. I don't like that one. I don't like a person. I talk to people anyhow. Rudeness is not strength. It is a lazy man's way of trying to be strong. When people have low self-esteem, when they talk others down in their heart, that's when they can rise. Very lousy. Some people should be sacked as customer representative of different banks and organizations. They bring their frustration to the table and customers leave. When you detect someone with a wrong spirit, sack them. Sometimes the best way to bless a man is to let him go. He needs to suffer the pain of loss so he will never lose again. And there's no emotional sentiment to these things. We're talking about men who want to do something great with their lives here. Not jokers. Not tribalistic people. It's for my village. Give him the job. What village are you talking about? What have you done in the village? A new generation of Africans that will operate with the culture of excellence. Nothing but it. We are not looking for men who are talking, who can do the job. Simple. Excellent relational skill. Respect. Honor. Honor men. Honor who? Men. Honor men. Don't joke with men. Know how to speak. A pastor was talking about a time he was seated at a table interviewing people, and a young man who used to abuse people on social media came also for the interview. And there was a time that he wrote something. The young man came to his wall to abuse him, not even knowing who he was. And they met at the table where he was interviewing people. And he watched the young man talking about how he's of impeccable character, how that his strength, his calmness, ability to manage pressure, people and situation. And he shook his head. You never can tell. The last person you look down on may be the key to your next level. You behave well. Don't go out looking for money all your life. You will not get it, because men are the access way to it. A man may not give you money, but he may open the treasury to you. I say, this is where we fish. Say, I just want money. I'm dealing with money. All I want is money. All I bargain for is money. Money, money, money. Everywhere there's poverty, they talk about money more than banks. Have you noticed that? Everywhere there's poverty, they talk about money more than they talk about money in banks. Why is this not done? Money. Why is that not done? Money. Who will do this money? Who will do that money? They will never think out of the situation. A poor man is poor because all he wants is money. They want to give you a job. You have not described what you will do. Show us the kind of quality. You went on to talk about price. Price of what? What value? Every man who is a great man will be turned off if you put price before value. After doing some one or two presentations, you present them to your friends in the house, and they tell you, very, very nice. What have they achieved? What have they accomplished? Must go after people. Do you get what I'm saying? People have achieved something at least. And then they endorse what you have done. Second thing you need to have before you get to the top. Humility. Very important. God gives grace to the humble and resists the proud. God gives grace to the humble and resists the proud. Now, people struggle with humility because their self-concept is poor. I have noticed that you will speak or lift yourself above measure if you don't know who you are. You don't know how to behave. You don't know if you do this. You can't be simple. You don't know, probably if you are simple, they will say this about you. Some people use unnecessary vocabularies in their English, not because it is necessary, but because that is what they think brings honor. Now, there is a way to construct words using necessary things. And there is a way to bring things you know, you just want men to go and look at the dictionary. You think that is the secret of excellent communication. Remember, it is communication, not mysteries. Not tongues. We used to have an honorable in Nigeria who speaks something but English. Many things, put them together. We are asking, what is he saying? He's talking much. We are not hearing. Because even when you check dictionary, some of them are Greek words. Some of them are Hebrew words. And you combine all those things. And those who brought the English are not even doing up to this. Just be simple. Just be simple. You go before someone who could help you in life. You are speaking what he will not understand. And you are saying, it is in the dictionary, sir. I can open it now. Why shouldn't you have spoken the one you will get? You need help. You need help. And you are speaking what your helper will not get. If all your helper can speak is Igbo, why you speak Igbo? You get what I'm saying? Speak, switch to Igbo. Say, Ibolachi, sir. Ibolachi, oh. Idima, and you switch. You enter the office of the man. He's wearing his cap with big 5 tribal mark on his cheek. You understand this man is from Oyo. Now he's barely understanding the English. Switch, Ekarosa. You know, go to what he can get. You speak to me. And when you are done, they say, okay, thank you. We'll see you. I'll send my PA to you. Then you are gone. Come down from your high mountain. And learn what works. You stand before someone who is a man who knows, because you know English, he knows the way to greatness. Come speak what he can hear, let him show you the way. You hear what I'm saying now? And all those things, most time they are lies, because these people are still drinking gari. No sugar. I used to have a boy in school who said when he wants to drink water, he drinks water with a ravioli of water, you know, plastic, you know, not this pure water. Ever. That's what he used to drink gari. And you're still drinking gari with ever, 100 naira. We didn't know he was behaving, he was trying to act up. When he finished his money, like the prodigal son, he came to greet me. And he said he wants to drink gari. He said he loves gari. There's no pain. I don't drink it. I can get it for you. All right? He said, I'm broke too. Oh boy, I'm broke. Being broke doesn't mean I don't have money. I don't have the one budgeted for you. Okay? So, I don't have pure water to give you. He was broke and hungry. Brothers and sisters, he drank from well water. I was fetching with the fetcher and pouring it into his cup. And he was drinking with graciousness. You spend money on things you don't like to impress people you don't need. You spend money heavily. Cut your coat according to the available material. God will lift you in this season. You want to go and see someone who can give you a car, you borrowed a car. And they look at you, they have what to give, but they think you have it already. You even went ahead to borrow limousine. Or you borrow Rolls Royce. The one who wants to give you is using just simple Infinity chip. You are trying to hack up. That's very simple things that make men fall. True or not true? Yes. The belt borrowed. The trouser. You got them. Tell yourself, may I never use my hand to bring myself down. You must always come down. Act in your own level. There are materials there that will do. There was a time in my life I was buying clothes, bend down, select. You would never know. They are well starched, be down. I can tell you places you can buy shirts for 200 naira. And I have pictures I snapped to them. I've been doing this thing for over 10 years, sir. Been preaching for over 10 years. Pictures. Go ahead and do all those things. There's a time. But God in heaven makes everything beautiful in its time and season. Until that time come. Don't overact, sir. Calm down. Calm down. Don't speak before those who can give you something acting like you have everything. Calm down. Let your speech, your conversation be seasoned with humility. If you need help, you need help. Don't act like one who doesn't need help. Your father works in Lagos, he's a mechanic. Don't tell us that he's a mechanical engineer. They are two different things. A mechanic and a mechanical engineer are two different professions. And none of them is a crime. None of them. Oh, don't deny those who suffered to bet greatness in you. I say, my father, we live in America. Where in America? He said, so and so local government. In America. So and so local government area of America. America. You've come name of different locations from film. You know their names, not what they look like. And you are speaking to someone who lives there. And she's just looking at you. And saying, fantastic. When you get your benefactor, don't lie. Speak the truth. God lifts up the humble. He resists the proud. It means when you are walking in pride, God is part of those resisting you. If you are praying against them, you are praying against God. He won't answer you. That kind of prayers you pray because you pray amiss. You won't get answers. God resists the proud. Integrity. Another thing you must have. Let your yes be yes. Get your facts and figures correctly before you put anything down. Many times, many people, you know, in Nigeria, people write projects plagiarize, steal people's works. No acknowledgement, nothing. Be a man of integrity. Let your yes be yes. Let your heart, the secret of your heart, align with your quality of living. Let them be one. The word integrity is gotten from the word integer in mathematics. Integer, that means all. All. A separate whole number. Integer. You've done mathematics for said this is gotten from a negative integer, or so and so and so. A number, a distinguished one. It means to be whole, be different, unique, be single. I think that's the word I was looking for. Be single. Don't give us an impression that you are this and you are that. Be single. Integrity. Be faithful with money. If a man is faithful with unrighteous mammon, God will commit great riches and wealth to his hands. Faithfulness. If they give you 1,370 naira to keep, even while it is time to return it, it is not the exact same papers given to you. Something is wrong with your integrity. Because while you spent it and said you will return it, the owner could have come. Be faithful. Let me say this to you. If you have the weakness of money, don't be an usher in church. At that point, any temptation that comes, the devil is not the one bringing it, you are the one. If you have weakness with women, don't be a youth pastor. I was ministering somewhere and a lady was seated opening her laps recently. About 5 times I spoke saying, close that laps into the microphone. So it can be clear that someone is trying to threaten a pastor's life. Don't look and say you will recover. Samson looked and slept. He woke up, the hair was gone. And a yellow girl, there was a time a girl came to sit in my front. Open the laps wide. You can't say you don't know. His breeze not blowing you. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Go and know at the back. So I told the church, pick your bags and Bible to everybody. Walk around to 20 people. Keep shouting, glory, 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 hallelujah. When I say in Jesus' name I pray, say amen and sit down wherever you find yourself. And the girl picked her Bible and things. When I saw she got to the back, I said amen on time. Before she comes back to the front. And she sat down. Everyone sat down. Someone sane came to sit in my front. To save your head, you must be very principled. Someone comes to your office and is trying to rub hands on your head as a pastor. Say, her name is Jessica. As a girl. Say, pastor, I just like your pink lips. It is better it is written on magazine that a pastor slapped a girl and a pastor slept with a girl. Something happened in a state. I won't mention the state. A girl was walking to see a bishop. Walking in. And she was walking in. The wife saw her entering. And let me tell you something. If your wife says she wants her office to be beside yours, if you say no, you have a plan. And the plan is to fall. And you fall. And while the girl entered, women know themselves. As the girl entered, she was wearing a gown unknown to the pastor. That she wore nothing under. And the gown is the kind of gown she can unzip from the front. And she unzipped the gown totally. Before she could let the zip down, a big slap landed on her from behind, from the pastor's wife. And the pastor too gathered courage and said, I rebuke you now. Hey, I rebuke you. I rebuke you. Thank God for a good wife. If not, pastor was gone. Gone. Hey. If your wife tells you, I don't like that girl, tell her I don't like her too. What can we do? Don't tell your wife. Don't tell your wife that you are always acting up. You are weakening your defense system. There's a reason why she was called Helper. The only person called that name in the Bible is the Holy Ghost. Isa. That's the word Helper. The kind of help that only God can give. That's why he that finds a good wife obtains favor from the Lord. Not the one who finds a woman in the beer parlor. That one the devil is smiling with. True or not true? Yes. And when you marry the devil's daughter, he will visit you without notice. He will come, he will drink, he will play, break the head of your children one against another. Someone says that I will enjoy my life. When I'm done enjoying my life, I'll come to the church and marry just any girl. Decent girl. God, I'm a good boy. You slept with over 200 girls, come to the church, you will meet one too. Who have enjoyed herself. She has your spec. Christian Nicki Minaj.
and she will have everything. Say, I'm looking for a brother too that is in the church but well to do. Both two people who have sown the same things will reap it. Whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. They will reap each other. And they will get to their home only to discover that they have married lies. The wife will tell him, I have a pastor. Let me leave that. Okay. So, be a man of integrity. Be who you claim to be. Don't let's find something else out. Be a man of integrity. Well, let people's definition of you be God's definition of you. People's description of you is your image. God's description of you is who you are. Sometimes people spend time building image at the expense of their integrity. They are building what men will see. And let me say this to you. Integrity in the business world is called social capital. Meaning that a man of integrity, even if he doesn't have to expand his business, they will give to him on the account of when he says a word, it is so. And they will say, when do you plan to return this money? Says, after 6 months. And they know, once it is 6 months, his word will be met so. That's integrity. People can say that we know somebody that if given this position, he doesn't lie. He doesn't lie. But Christians lie. I was sharing the story of a brother who went to the chemist to buy condom. And when he got there, he requested for what he wanted loud and clear. And they searched and brought him the condom. He kept it in his pocket. Collected it. Collected change, kept it in his pocket, then turned back, and then saw his pastor's wife. She was part of the customers waiting to buy what she wanted to buy. He turned back to the one who sold the condom and said, What did you sell to me? You guys don't get what's right. I meant something. Then he mentioned the name. And he returned that back. Obviously, he's still going somewhere else to buy it. But how a man could figure out such lie under such short notice? Quick notice, he knows what to do. It's not the spirit of God. Some people lie in the way that demons are taking note. That's when we need to inspire someone on what to say. At this one, they are opening new chambers of lies, and they say it is the devil. Devil say, "Ah, me when?" Don't be a liar. Let your words be your bound. If you have made a mistake, stay with it. God will heal you. He will heal your mistakes. Stay with it. Don't lie to impress anybody. Hallelujah. And the last things I want to mention, service. How to rise to the top. All right, service. Irrespective of your level, I have organizations that you don't collect money from while you are doing what you do. And make sure the organizations where grace flows. The grace flowing from them will keep your influence and finance flowing. Joseph served Potiphar. Samuel served Eli. Right? Serve. Serve. There was a time a pastor said something that when people play instrument in church and are collecting money from church, it is not the right thing to do. And the social media went on fire. Well, I just advise that this is the best way forward. The church will raise people who have other things doing, and also who are using their skills to glorify God. And those who pay to come and sing for God have no business around God. Well, but when you come, people can appreciate you for what you do. But I understand that there's also a part of those who went to be trained to do all those things. I think the wisdom here is that you do those things for those who are outside. But when you come to the house of God, you serve Him with your gift. Don't charge God. Don't charge Him. There are activities you do that requires you to collect money for materials. And I think I need to balance this for the sake of understanding. Discern where you want to serve, because you can serve in the wrong places. There is no blessing for that. Be sure grace is flowing there. Don't sow on the rock. Sow on a fruitful field. You can sow on the rock. Discernment first before service. Is that okay? You are serving a man who is an occultic preacher with your gift. There is no blessing to that. Discern. Discern. Run away where you should run. Stay where you should stay. Hallelujah. There are some level of activity that you need to collect money from. Let's balance this, please. The church too should be sensitive enough to bless, water those who have watered them. True or not true? Yes. But let's make sure that we are doing everything we are doing from a genuine heart of service and honor unto God.
By this you will rise. Men lift up the hands of men. If you are humble, you are a man of integrity, good relational skill, impeccable character. You are a man given to service. God will orchestrate means to lift you, and the things you are doing will be heard. Can I be here? A big amen to that. Let's pray. Father, I will bless you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love, mercy, strength, ability, wisdom that you have given to us. Be exalted in the name of Jesus. Father, we are asking for wisdom upon everyone who has listened to this. That the wisdom will rest upon their lives. Strength, stamina, ability to pursue, overtake and recover all the enemy has stolen has come upon you. In the name of Jesus. You are blessed, not cursed. You will rise, you will not be limited. What you do will spread. God will give you grace to pursue more. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
True transformation is evident for doers and not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to femilazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.